Lord. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. He's on, isn't he? I'm on? Okay. Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Aren't you glad you're here tonight? Amen. I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad, as pastors are always saying, that, you know, it's just good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to be in church. Good to be here where we can open the Bible and study from the Word of God tonight. And I'm just thrilled that God is so good to us, isn't he? God is so wonderful. And I just stand amazed at how the Lord is, he just does great things, doesn't he? He just does great things. So he is good. My pastor told me, I guess 40 years ago, or over 40 years now, he said, Paul, when I first started preaching, I was called to preach October the 10th, 1976. And he said, just get in the pulpit and run to Jesus. Amen. Talk about the Lord. Talk about Jesus. Amen. He is so good to us, isn't he? Saved when I was younger, but God has put us on the mission field and given us a labor to do, and we continue doing that. We heard from Brazil today, and they're still not having in-person, you know, services. But the pastor goes to the church and does it on video. And he said everything's fine. It's just that they're not able to meet. Church is still doing great, and we praise the Lord for that. Souls trust in the Lord. Amen. I just love to see people saved, don't you? I love to see people saved and come to the Lord Jesus. It's amazing how you can take the Bible and just sit down with someone and begin to share the gospel with them. And you know, it just seemed like God just uses that word to pierce their soul and pierce their heart. And I remember there in Brazil on different occasions, I wasn't really, really good in the language, but I could read. I could read some of it. And what I would do, I would just turn to 1 Corinthians 15 and just read. You know, read about the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And a lot of people got saved. Amen. Just, you know, it's not me, it's the Word of God. That's what does work. And we are trusting that to touch your heart tonight is God's precious Word. And we just rejoice in it. I want you to open your Bibles to Romans, the book of Romans. We're going to try to be in chapter 6. We're going to try to get there. So, but I'll keep my eyes on the time. And I really appreciate the pastor allowing me the privilege of being back here, up here this soon. I didn't think I'd be back here that quite this soon, but I praise the Lord. I love to preach, and I said many years ago, I'd rather get up and fail for Jesus than I would to, you know, succeed for myself. Amen. And praise the Lord. Chapter 6 in the book of Romans, okay? Chapter number 6 in the book of Romans. I had this little thing I typed over several years ago. I wrote it down. You know, the grace of God is just unlimited. God's grace. And it's always, you know, God's grace is God's unmerited favor. God's grace. And you and I are here tonight because of His grace. It's the reason we're here, because of the grace of God. And the Bible teaches us that, you know, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible says that we are His we're His creation. We're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. And I want to walk in those works, don't you? I want to do what God wants me to do. But the grace of God, I wrote this down. Grace is that work of God whereby He does the unexpected. Now, I don't know when you got saved. Maybe just a short time, or maybe years. But did you expect to get saved when you got saved? Did you go to church to get saved? Some people do. So I thought today, I said, well, you know, if there's anyone wants to get saved right now and you don't want to wait till the invitation, you can come right now. Amen. I guarantee you've heard enough gospel to know if you're not a Christian, you know the gospel of Jesus was saved. Unexpected. For the undeserving. God, that's the grace of God. Providing the unattainable. And that's what undeniable, unchangeable, and unable to pay for it. Amen. That's the grace of God, isn't it? That's the grace of God. Romans chapter number 6. There are three words I want to use in this chapter. And if you studied it, probably you've got marks all in your Bible. And no doubt you've got these words already marked in your Bible. But the words are in verse number 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And the other word is found in verse number 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the third word is in verse number 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Three little words that, and we'll try to help us understand the reason Paul put this to the Roman believers. Oh, the reason he's saying this to them is because in chapter number 3 of Romans, the Bible says that the righteousness of God is manifest without the law, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith. So God is saying to those, through the Apostle Paul, these believers, righteousness comes through faith. By the grace of God. Not by the law, but it's through faith. Then he goes on to tell us in chapter number 5 that we are not only saved by faith, but in chapter number 5 he says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are saved and we are justified by faith in Jesus Christ. I'm glad that Paul talked about there in chapter number 5, he said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We are saved, but we are also justified as if God has cleaned our record. One said, just as if we've never sinned, but no, we did sin, but God cleansed it. Amen. God cleansed it. He justified us, and we're justified by the grace of God, the Bible says. We're justified by faith. We're justified by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And God is letting them know, now you're justified, you're saved, you're justified. But in chapter number 6, he is wanting us to do something. He is wanting the believers there to exercise these three words. Know, reckon, and yield. Look what he says in verse number 1 of chapter number 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? We that are saved, we that are born into the family of God. He's asked them a question. Are we to continue that grace may abound? God, help me, what does it say? God forbid. We're not to continue. We are to, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Thank God for the new birth. Thank God for, we're not part of that, and I'd like for us to see that tonight. God has put us, thank God, in the body of Christ. He has justified us. And therefore, you and I, by God's grace, we are to walk in newness of life. I like walking with God, don't you? Near to the heart of God. I remember when I was younger, my hair used to be black. You wouldn't believe it, but it did. But amen, brother, amen. I was getting ready to go to Brazil. And, of course, a lot of, anxiety of going to another country, taking my family, taking our three boys to another country. And I spent quite a bit of time with the Lord. And I remember one evening I was praying up in West Virginia, where my home place. There's a like a little two mountains come together and had a place where you could go in there, just a little creek that run out between the mountains. And I'd go up in that place and I'd get to talking to the Lord, and I believe sometimes He let me get near to His heart. And one evening especially, I said, Lord, I was just rejoicing in the Lord. I was so happy in God. I said, Lord, please, would you just go home with me right the way we are right now? This closeness, this fellowship. Would you just go down home with me? And, of course, the Lord's always with us, right? He's always there. But I remember Him speaking to my heart and said, son, why don't you just stay a little longer? And I just went back in and stayed a little longer. And it was times like that, that when I got on that plane and flew into South America, it's just the Lord, isn't it? It's just the Lord, how He works things. Landed in it looked like a field, dirt, runway. And my mind, my carnal nature said, man, what have you got your family into? But God had so burdened our hearts that it didn't matter too much about a dirt runway or get on prop planes and ride, and they just seemed like they just not going to make it, you know, just not going to make it all the way. My children sick and, you know, throwing up and on the plane. But I'm telling you, God is good. And Brother Dan, if I had another life to live, I'd sure go back and live it over. I'd go right straight back to Brazil, seeing all those people saved and seeing the churches raised up. Seeing the men that God gave. God raised these men up. And I was telling Sharon yesterday, and she agrees with me 100%. She said, you know, what God has done in Brazil is we're just so thankful that we can walk away, we got men and workers there that are doing a wonderful job for God, doing a wonderful job for the Lord. I got one assistant pastor his name is Ronaldo. I may have told you in the time past, but he memorizes scriptures. And he had memorized, 11 or 12 books in the New Testament. And when I was there the last time, he was memorizing the book of Proverbs. He was on chapter 17. Now, that's a hard one. So let me try to get through this, okay? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin after what God has done for us? God forbid. How shall we? That really got a hold of my heart. How shall we that are dead to sin. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? It reminds me of Galatians chapter number 2. Galatians chapter number 2 and verse number 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So the life that we have, how shall we? We're brand new creatures in Christ. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. If any man be in Christ, you know the verse, right? If any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. If you read the next verse, it tells you that those new things are of God. They're of God. So you and I that are saved, justified by the grace of God, how do we do this? How do we get there, Brother Dan? How do we get to this place that Paul's talking about? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? In other words, we were recognized when you and I got born again. We was made part of the family of God, but you and I were baptized into his death. Now, that's something that God did. Amen. I didn't do that. God did that. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into his death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. One man said this. He said, that death of Christ paid the penalty, paid for our sins, the death on the cross. But we are to die to self. As a matter of fact, we already have. We just need to recognize that we are. That brother. We need to recognize that we are. Why? That's the reason he was talking about verse number 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. We were recognized, as in Adam, if you read chapter number 5, as in Adam, wherefore by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all of us, amen, for all have sinned. We were plunged into the sin of Adam, but because of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, thank God we can be part of that resurrection. We can be part of the Lord. Union, our union with Christ. Deliverance from the power of indwelling sin by our union with Christ in his death and in his resurrection. Newness of life. Thank God, you know, we're brand new, aren't we? Brand new creatures. Amen. Brand new. I told a young man the other day, I said, you know, when you get saved, you get born again, you're new. You're new in Christ. You're new in Christ. I guess it's been about 2 or 3 months ago, I was talking to this man there in Colonial Heights. His name was Sam. And talking to him about the Lord, and he thought that water baptism saved him. He thought that's what all he needed. This man's 60 years old. He said, that's all I've heard all my life is you get baptized, you get saved. You know that. And after a while explaining to him from the scriptures that that does not save you. Water baptism does not save you. You've got to be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. That what cleanses your sins is the blood of the Lord. And I loved what he said. After conversing with him for a while, here's the words that come out of his mouth. He said, well, what must I do? And I explained to him, well, Marty, what do you need to do? Amen. And he asked the Lord to save him. What must I do? You've heard those words before? We are in Christ. We are new creatures in Him. But Paul is talking here about being delivered from the power of sin. We've already been delivered from the penalty of it. He said, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him. He wants us to know that. He wants us to recognize that we are dead in Christ, but alive in God. Amen. Knowing this, that the old man is crucified. The old man is crucified. Delivered from the power. What does it mean to be dead to sin? By knowing the truth, which was involved when we accepted Christ as our Savior, our union with Christ, our connection with Christ. We are connected with His burial and His death, the burial and the resurrection. Thank God for the death of our Lord, and we were recognized with that death. I want to read to you 2 Peter chapter number 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Second Peter chapter number 1, verse number 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We have a new nature. We have a divine nature of God. And what God wants us to do, and what Paul's trying to tell these believers in Rome, he says, now I want you to know that. I want you to recognize that that's what happened when you got saved. That when you give your life to God, our union with Christ makes our salvation, our connection to the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to know that happened. And God wants us to reckon it to be so. Verse number 11. We are to, he talks about the old nature being, we're crucified with Christ. Look with me in Ephesians chapter number 4, please. Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We need to know that God has made a union between us in Christ. We've crucified the old man. Old nature, I must say. in Ephesians 4 and verse 21. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You know what God wants out of us? He wants us to know that, to know what happened, to recognize that, and to reckon it to be so. Look at verse number 11. It says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus our Lord. We need to not only know that, but we need to recognize that. Our union with Christ released us from the penalty of sin. And here, God wants us to be released from its power. Likewise, reckon dead to sin does not mean that sin is dead. If you got up this morning, which you did, amen, you're here, you got up. We know that it's still there, isn't it? But God wants us to recognize what happened and reckon it so. Reckon it so. The apostles, he does not say that sin is dead to us, but that we in Christ are dead to sin. Amen. I'm glad of that, aren't you? We continue. The word means continue reckoning ourselves to be dead to sin. Every day by faith. Reckon is an attitude of faith, not feelings. It's an attitude of faith based on what God said and not what we think. Based on what He wrote down here. And God wants us to do that. He wants us to reckon that to be so. Reckon it to be so. You have the same battles that I do. We battle every day. But when we accept the fact, I mean, it is a fact that we're dead to sin. We're dead. And God help us to be, reckon that to be so. Faith is to conclude. Faith is to conclude about ourselves what God has declared about us. Not what we think or what we feel. What God has declared. And I tell you, He's declared us justified. He's declared us righteous in His eyes. And God wants us to walk like that. How shall we continue in sin? That grace, God forbid, we're not going to. Amen? We're going to live for God. We're going to live for the Lord. Reckon it to be so. And then the last word, and I've got just a few more minutes, okay? The last word, it says in verse number 11, it says, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey in the lust thereof. God, He says in verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness. Members. Members. Our members, our feet, our hands. Wouldn't it be something if God controlled our, if God made our members, you know, come to church when it was time to come to church? Wouldn't it be something if your legs just start moving and toward the house of God? No, He wants us to yield our members to do that. Yield our members to the Lord. Yield. a deliberate choice based upon our position in Christ Jesus. A deliberate choice to live for Him and to our union, our position in Christ Jesus, our union with Him in order to be used of God. Romans chapter number 6. Know, reckon, and yield our members to the Lord Jesus and let God use us. It's a daily thing that we must do as God help us to give ourselves to Him. We're saved, amen, we're justified by faith, names written down in heaven, but God wants us to know these facts about what took place when we got saved. And we need to take those facts and not only know them, but reckon them to be so, that these facts, thank God, can help us to be a servant of God. Amen. I'm not there, but I'm still every day, giving myself to God and praying and spending time in the Word of God. I want to be used of God, don't you? God's put some things on my heart that you know, and this year's already getting started, and not some things I want to do, and things I want to pray about this church, bringing people in, and seeing people. I love to sit full with you. I love to sit filled up every service. Brother Herman, he could. He preached to us every service. I guarantee if we get him out here, get it filled up. So God help us tonight to give ourselves to Him and let Him use us. Let Him use us in His work. And we want to have her to play. Brother, you want to? Brother John, you want to? Okay. Amen. Let's stand to our feet just for a word of prayer, please. And Lord, help us to give our all to Jesus. Amen. If the Lord spoke into your heart tonight, maybe. I know God wants to use all of us. That's for sure. And I pray God to help us to be usable for God and for His glory. And maybe God speaking to your heart about just surrendering to God. Just saying, Lord, here am I. Here am I, Lord. Ever what you want me to do, ever what you want me to be a part of. Amen. Amen. Go ahead. Amen. 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 God spoke to your heart tonight. Just obey the Lord. Obey the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Yes, Lord. Amen. Please, oh God, I pray. Amen, Lord. Thank you. Amen. Amen. I want to go with Him all the way, don't you? All the way. All the way. Surrendering our all to the Lord and letting Him use us for His glory and honor. Amen. 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 If God spoke to your heart tonight, just you can do it here, you can do it in your pew, but that heart, just surrender that heart to the Lord. Amen. Yes, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen, Pastor. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may look this way. Somebody's wisely or wonderfully said, the greatest ability is availability. And we avail ourselves of the Lord. So here am I, Lord, send me. You say, I may not be much, and none of us are, But remember, the equation is all God, not us. So praise the Lord, Brother Paul. Thank you for preaching for us. And thank you for being here, being faithful and preaching. And, of course, I just got back from the service for the Lawrences. Thank you for being here. And, you know, I hesitate to make the statement I'm going to make because it will sound condescending, and I don't mean that at all. I grew up in a church much, much smaller than this. But I passed a church on our way back, Amy and I, and the church was size-wise, the buildings-wise, about the size of this, and I counted. You know, you're a preacher, you keep on counting, and people, and at that time I counted cars, I couldn't see the people, but there was four cars out there, and you say, oh, isn't that sad? I don't like to dwell very long on it, because then you get big-headed, and then you start thinking you are something, which none of us are, but you understand that I just caught the tail end of that, and what Brother Pritchard was preaching and speaking about, just surrendering ourselves to the Lord. And, you know, the first step is just to be somewhere where you can hear his voice. And I know you can hear his voice. I've heard people say, oh, preacher, I can hear the God much better in the tree stand than I can here. And I said, don't give me that, you know. I halfway agree at first, and I say, I understand that, but we want to be listening to the Lord. Thank you for being in church tonight. It's a joy to be here. I hope that you're excited about being here. The young people over in the classes and the youth and all that. But what a joy to be in church. So before we head out, we'll just tell you that the ushers will be back there at the back. We'll take our normal Wednesday night offering. And thank you so much for being here this evening. You're dismissed.
Whose broad stripes and bright stars.